Hello.
Are we on the air? All right.
Hello.
I'd like to welcome everybody. Did Jeff come on and say we were on the air?
He counted down.
He did. Okay. How long ago? How many seconds ago?
About 1 minute ago.
Okay. Well,
okay. I'm back again.
All right. We're on the air. This is Winfrey, and this is the Monday Night Winfrey conference call. And we call it a conference call because it's a simulcast. We are on the telephone, and we are also on the Internet. And it's kind of an experiment in consciousness, of integration of consciousness. It's an interactive call, but not interactive in the way that we discuss things. We are here on this call to interact our consciousnesses and to create, if we can, because it's something we have to do together, a group, what I call a group consciousness or a group energy. And a group energy has to come from each person permitting and allowing that to occur. So for those of you on BBS, we can't talk to you. We can't hear you, but we can still participate with you in consciousness. For those of you on the conference call, we can talk to you. And let's see, Suzanne, can you guys hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, who's on the line tonight? I heard Terry. Okay.
Well, I have a partial list because I got knocked offline so many times.
Okay, let's see. Who's your list?
I have Karen from Tucson.
Okay.
Mary Ann, Gary, Ondine, Diane, and at one point John from New Jersey was on.
Okay.
And I know there's others, but I was off the line when those came in.
And, okay, let's get some of the other people. Anyone else that Suzanne didn't mention?
Gwen, Jackie in San Diego.
Okay, Jackie in San Diego. Anyone else?
Dee in Brevard, North Carolina.
Dee in North Carolina. Thank you. Anyone else?
Gino and Claudia and Kendra from Paris.
Gino, Claudia, and Kendra. So nice to hear from you guys. In Paris, France.
Right here.
Okay, great. And who else is there? Anyone else?
Anna in Berkeley, California, on my cell phone.
Anna in Berkeley, okay. Anyone else? Okay. Well, there's someone. I'd like to say your name and your city. Now, sometimes people just listen in and they don't identify themselves, and that's okay. Anyone else want to identify themselves?
Yes, Wayne just got on.
Okay, Wayne. Hi. That's Wayne in South Carolina. And anyone else? Okay. Let me mute everybody.
The following conference commands are available to the moderator. To record a conference, press *2. To increase your volume, press *3.
Okay,
to lock the conference, press *4. To unlock the conference, press *5. All callers are muted. All callers are muted.
Okay. So, everyone's muted. We have those people that you just heard on the telephone line and those people who are listening on BBS radio. And we talked a little bit about the idea of having an interactive conference, but you guys aren't going to talk, which means I have to be both of us. I have to be you and me, at least in terms of the physical expression. And you have to be willing to just surrender for a moment and allow your consciousness to move if you want to. And if you don't, you can just listen and listen like you're in the audience rather than you're participating. As a participant, what's going to happen is that we are going to intend to create a group energy. And a group energy means that we are going to look at the part of each of ourselves which is invisible on the other side of what you could call the veil. Now, some people may not believe you have a part on the other side of the veil, and that's okay. I'd like to ask you maybe to suspend that belief and consider the possibility and see what happens during the next hour. And be willing to reconsider that. Are those people that have studied spiritual things or metaphysical things or even gone to church all have some idea that there's some part of us that we can't see. And this is an area where each person has to prove that to themselves. Do you have a part that you can't see, or is what you see what you get, right? Well, for my own self personally, having looked at this for many years of my life, I am sure that each of us has a part of us that we can't see. But that's something I've proven to myself, and I've proven it in many ways, and that's not what I'm going to go into this call and talk about. But I'm asking you to suspend whatever belief you do have if you think there's nothing there and think that it might be there. So right now, there's part of you listening to my voice and part of you in some invisible dimension, and your body is in all different places. It's in your bedroom, it's in the easy chair, it's in the kitchen, it's looking at the refrigerator, waiting to open the refrigerator, it's in the backyard. Wherever your body is where it is, but where your spirit is beyond where your body is. And what I've learned is that there's these dimensions where time moves at different speeds. And we know that time moves at a certain speed here, and we even know that Einstein proved in this realm, if you're in some physical object that's moving fast enough, time will move at a different speed relative to the physical realm. So even in this realm, time has been proven, at least by Einstein, not to be an absolute. Well, in the invisible realms, there's layer upon layer of timelines moving at different speeds. So where you are right now in the physical space, you could be occupying the same physical space of another timeline, and you wouldn't see that timeline. It would be invisible to you, but it would be there. And you can have multiple timelines stacked on top of each other in the same physical space. And then, as you go through these timelines, eventually you could come to a place where there's no time, where time doesn't exist. Now, if you're at the vantage point where time doesn't exist, and you're now looking through all these timelines, you can see everything. You can see the past, the future, because you are beyond time. And we, in our invisible parts of ourselves, stretch out on all these timelines. And one of the aspects of the invisible part of ourself is that it's unlimited. It can actually go from right here in the physical plane or close to it through all the timelines to the place where time stops. Potentially. And people who have done spiritual studies might be familiar with the term the eternal now, which is the place where one attains to be, the eternal now, where time stops, and perhaps where time stops, there's chaos, there's nothing, nothingness, the void. And so if you are sitting where time stops, the slightest little intent on your part would ripple all through these timelines and then come out as a manifestation on the end of it, where your body is. Now, of course, this is not an easy thing to do, but in a certain sense, all of us have, most of us, I should say, have had some kind of experience where we've worked with the part of ourself in other timelines and there was some kind of manifestation in the physical realm. And one thing about doing this is you can't violate anyone else's timeline structure. So it's not that you can suddenly have a lot of power because you're outside of time and changed everything. Each individual has its own sense of structure and intention structure and goals and what they want to happen in their physical life. Except on our call, on this call, we're working for a moment to establish our energies outside of the timeline, or certainly at a higher level of timeline. And just by talking about it, part of you called your high self is actually listening to these words. And if this strikes intuitive resonances with yourself, like, aha, yes, maybe that's how it works, then you'll probably continue going along on this journey through the rest of the call, where we actually exist and experience a manifestation of how existence feels outside of our timeline. We all know that in spite of the fact that in third dimension, time moves what seems to be a linear function. In other words, if you're looking at a clock, the clock doesn't change. It's very steady. And if I have a clock in my house and you have a clock in your house, 5 hours is going to be the same for both of us. So when you start operating outside of time, the clock is not going to change. What will change is your perception. And we all know that sometimes we have a good time, and sometimes we have a bad time. When we have a good time, our experience of time moves at a different rate than when we have a bad time. When we have a bad time, time seems to move very, very slowly. If we're in pain or if we're hurt, even a minute can seem forever. Whereas if we're having a really good time, sometimes a day can flash by, and it seems like, where did it go? What happened? So we have various perceptions of time, good times and bad times. Now, I'm going to suggest that when we're having a good time, and when we have the experience of time moving faster, we're having that experience because we, the invisible part of ourselves, is in has established itself in other timelines and is downloading itself into your physical experience. And when you're having a bad time, you are somewhat cut off from these other parts of yourself, and time moves very slowly. When we move into these other realms and we join with each other in these other realms, time always moves faster. In fact, it gets beyond even the good time of emotion. It becomes almost like time is standing still. Now, those of you who have been listening to this show on an ongoing basis know that in addition to our energies, which are in other timelines, there's also a multitude of other energies, beings, consciousnesses, intelligences that are invisible to us, just as our own selves are invisible. They are invisible. But they can interact with the parts of us that are in those other timelines. We can interact in a certain way with them. Now, some of these energies are not necessarily positive. So for the course of this show, this hour, we are going to ask that we only interact with positive energies on the other side of this timeline. Energies that are operating in the highest good of all concerns. Energies that are operating in what could be called the law of one or the Christ consciousness. And now we're talking about where all things become one timeline. And when you start getting closer to what could be called the eternal now, and you look back, everything starts to look like oneness. Everything is an expression of one energy, subdividing into this multitude of timelines and eventually a physical realm, a physical universe, which we are all trapped in. And according to my cosmology, this physical universe is a place that we've gotten trapped in, and we've been here for a long, long time, many, many lifetimes, and the real goal of life is to get untrapped. And that means where you could be here if you wanted to, but if you didn't want to, you could leave and not be stuck here. And I've had this experience of ongoing communications with some of the beings that I believe are positive and wanting to help us untrap ourselves, who are on the other side of the timeline. And that part of our interaction is how to make those connections for ourselves, make the connections so we can experience them in a personal way that you can utilize in your own life for your own benefit, for your own upliftment, and for your own understanding of the bigger picture of what life is about. And perhaps when I say life, I also should mean the space in between life. Because most of us think an awful lot about having a better life, but very few of us think about preparing for what happens when life is over. Where are you? Where do you go? Since we can't directly perceive that, it doesn't become a preoccupation of our conscious mind. So we focus on what we directly perceive, which is this small microcosm of perhaps 70 to 100 years that we're on planet Earth, and we live our life on and think about how to make that period of time more enjoyable, more fun. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, you are here, and you are going to be here for that length of time, so you should enjoy it. On the other hand, if when we die we return to this invisible part of ourselves that we can't perceive when we're in a body in this realm, if that's true, it would be good to know the laws of how what we do in this realm affects that invisible part that we're going to be faced with when we're not in this realm, and that is going to create our next life and the life after that and the life after that. Because there is an interaction. There must be an interaction. And it's a hard interaction to suss out while you're in a body, unless, in my case, I've had a huge amount of conversations with sources in these other realms. They've explained things to me. I've done a lot of reading particularly Edgar Cayce years ago, convinced me that it worked this way. There's a lot of evidence that fairly well proves that life does go on after death, and even that reincarnation is the way it works. And people say, well, how come science doesn't recognize that? Well, science doesn't recognize a lot of things that confront it. it chooses to just ignore the data and work with data that supports what it can work with in its parameters. So, you know, there's science in general doesn't recognize UFOs, psychic phenomena, miracle healings, all kinds of stuff. It just, when it's confronted with it, it just puts it to the side. And because there's not an explanation within science to explain it, then it's not considered. So those people that say, where is science and why doesn't science recognize these things? It can't. It just can't. Because once it does, it's not science anymore. Once it starts taking data in that cannot be proven in a objective way, then you're in trouble. So those people who choose to do the research, to look at the experiences many people have had, and there have been many scientists. There was a scientist, Ian Stevenson, Dr. Ian Stevenson, probably 20 or 30 years ago, that fairly well put together a huge body of data that proved that reincarnation was real. And he did it by, if anyone looks him up on the web, they can find the more specific information about this, but he did it by interviewing young children who had extraordinary abilities that they had no reason to have, and finding out that those children would remember things that could only come from past lives, remember cities, remember parents. And he was able, in some of the cases, to specifically check out what the children remembered and prove it to be true. In my own case, and I may have told this on this line before, I had the circumstance where some years ago somebody gave me a reading and they told me that I was repeating a lot of patterns from a previous lifetime, and then they told me what that lifetime was and what happened in that lifetime. And about 6 years prior to that reading, I had written a song which described exactly the same lifetime that he told me about. And so it was at that point, at that reading, that I was absolutely certain reincarnation was real. And so, if reincarnation is real, then we have two things that become suddenly more important in this life. One is how to have an enjoyable, full, happy life. The second is, what is it that we do in our life that changes our future incarnational episodes so we can ensure that how we exist in the future is also a positive experience? And that is where the trick comes in, because very few people take that into consideration while they're living their life, because the fact that they might exist in the future is a piece of data that is not readily provable to someone. So, I have done my own research. I am sure it works that way. If you're not, I advise you to do your own research and your own reading and come to your own conclusion, because then you will be faced with also having to consider what will make a more positive future life for you after this one is gone. Because according to my understanding, we have thousands of lifetimes, and this is just one blip in thousands, and that we tend to keep repeating the same pattern, not only on an individual level, but society level and a planetary level. There's instances where, for example, a planet in our solar system blew itself up, the planet Maldek that became the asteroids, and those beings on Maldek ended up moving to Earth to continue their incarnation. In fact, according, now this of course I can't prove, but I think it's probably true, and just according to raw channelings of Carla Rucker, those beings had to come in as Neanderthal men until the society here, the culture, was together enough to handle them, to work out their own karmas. Also, apparently there was a lot of trauma as a result of being involved in that explosion, and because of the trauma, they were not ready to experience full embodiment. And so, this is the way it goes in the big picture of the universe. We have a planet, maybe, and something happens, it blows itself up, the beings are moved to another planet, it blows itself up. Maybe this blowing itself up might take 50 to 100,000 years, and then it goes to another planet and blows itself up. And who executes these moving of souls from one planet to another is, according to my information, there's this group soul that was identified itself in my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which calls itself the Ra Group, which is composed of graduates of the physical realm, beings that one time had physical existence and got off the wheel of reincarnation and now exist as a team of pure energy of billions of souls that administrate the lower levels, which includes moving souls from one planet to another. And I don't know if they're the only group that does that. And, of course, I can't even say that they do that. It's only I read that. And so it fit, it made sense, but reading it doesn't make it true. So it's something, if you're going to read it, you'll have to draw your own conclusion. But there's got to be, if there's intelligences on the other side of the veil, there has to be some way those intelligences work and interact, and the raw material of Carla Ruckert is one of the best explanations for how that actually works, from what might be the horse's mouth, and also David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce are allegedly channeling the same raw group. So you can read about those, and one of the things I did is I read all three sources and realized how well they all correlated, which was part of what convinced me that I was on the right track in terms of drawing the conclusions I'm drawing. So, as we say, there's been all these episodes in the history of mankind where a planet has blown itself up, there's been mass deaths of physical bodies, there's been no planet to continue the incarnations on. So everything's moved to a new planet at that point, and that there's vast intelligences made up of graduates of this realm that move the souls from one planet to another. And according to the information, almost everyone on Earth has come from having incarnations in other planets and maybe a multitude of planets, gone through this experience. And, you know, it's been spoken of as gross repeating cycles where people keep re-embodying, keep going through the same thing, keep creating the same results. And what they're saying is our planet right now is on the potential of such an episode, and that it's not there yet. And the thing that could make this happen or not happen is us. Now, here's where it gets really interesting, because we have the parts of us that exist in other dimensions meeting these billions of other energies, which I'm calling group souls, but also meet on other dimensions, and they can help us. We can join with each other and create a group energy, and we can join with them and create a group energy, and then we can create a group intention, and they're able to do interventions based on that. They are able to stop things from happening, but they can't violate free will. So there has to be a balance of energy here and enough people making a request for that to occur. Now, the request doesn't have to happen on this conference line. It doesn't have to happen where the person even knows there's group souls. They respond to the inner calling of a person's love and wisdom and their expansiveness of energy, and they can hear and feel that without the person having to know all the details. On our line, we do know the details. And I do believe those people who study the situation, the circumstance of my experience, of David Wilcox's experience, the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, it's pretty impeccable that this is what I'm saying is going on. So if you're hearing this and you haven't studied those and this intrigues you, please go back and study that material. The reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which is an introduction to the Ra group, actually. Go to my website, higher-vision.org, and read the experiences that happened to me. Go to the insidescoop.org, and you can hear many of the voices of people talking, so you know I couldn't possibly make this up. And you'll find that it's all very congruent, and that there has to be an explanation for all these experiences I've had, David Wilcox has had, Carla Ruckert has had, that all tie together into the same direction, that we can create a group energy, a group consciousness. We can get the help of what I call these group souls that are positive. We can change the course of the planet. We have that potential if enough people here care enough to do so. On a human level, we feel very helpless. One person would have a very hard time thinking they had any power to change the course of events on this planet. But when we start grouping our energies and our intentions together as a group, and then we have the group energies connected with us of these group souls, which are millions and billions of individual souls, we now have a real source of power and a real source of strength. And we have the ability to make requests that actually, individually, carry very little weight. But as a group energy attached to a bigger group energy, we really can carry weight. And also we can influence more people to see what we're doing here and also contribute to it. Because it's the consciousness that we create as humanity right now is so important and has so much power to change what could be the potentials. Are we going to go through another gross repeating cycle? Are we going to blow up our world at a potential? Are we going to have viruses that are man-made, wipe everything out? Is that a potential? How do you stand up against these potentials? You can't do it yourself. And this is a very simple act that we're doing. We're doing these conference calls every night. And on the Monday night call, this one here, I moderate and talk about these things and give more of an overview from my own experience. And Tuesday, we have Wayne and Suzanne moderating, and they share a channeling from Carla Ruckert, usually from the Quo group, and there's a history of these channelings up on our website, which explain in minute detail how things are working from the other side, and how the interaction between us and the other side works, and if you're hearing this and you're new, please go to my website and go to the Higher Vision, higher-vision.org, go to the section that says Dimensional Shift, and Dimensional Shift Group, where it has the records of all the Carla Ruckert channelings that we've read over the years last, since the conference call started, or not quite since it started, but for the last year and a half. There's a huge body of information that you can start processing And, of course, the pro group, as well as I say, never believe this stuff blindly. The most I can do is to challenge you and hope that you will start your own study and see if it fits. Many people don't want to do this kind of study. They either want to believe it blindly or they don't even want to think that it's possible because while one considers the possibility of all this, one greatly increases their responsibility. Because if what I'm saying is true, then being on these conference calls is really important, and that the next few years, what we do is very important. And sometimes I describe this, an image might be, where a person stumbles into a room, and when they're outside of the room, they have no trouble opening the door to get into that room. But when they're in the room, they can't open the door so easily. For whatever reason, it has a lot of resistance. And in order to get back out of the room, it takes a bunch of people helping, pushing against the door. And there's all these people that are locked in the room that don't know how to get out of it and have all tried to open the door individually and had a hard time. And until somebody organizes a team of people to say, let's lean against this door together and push it, then the door opens and they get out. So that might be an analogy of how all this works, that we are a group here creating a group energy to lean against the door, and we need each other to push that door open. And we still need ourselves. It doesn't mean that we each have our own individual lives, and we're not taking anything away from one's individual life and one's individual happiness. This is something that you must connect with it yourself. It must resonate, and in order to resonate and to come to that, you have to study the material and come to your own conclusion. Because if you can't come to this from your own full being choice, then your energy is not going to manifest. It would be akin to people who go to church because they think it's going to get them to heaven. They have no idea if there's a connection between that, but somebody said it enough times, so they believe it without question. And I don't believe it works that way. I don't believe if you go to church every Sunday, you're going to get to heaven. I do believe if you have your heart open and you treat everyone as part of yourself, which were some of the precepts of Jesus, if you love your neighbor as yourself, then you have then actually are living the precepts of what the church would actually mean to be. But if you're doing things out of a sense of ritual or fear or duty or obligation, even coming into this conference calls with those kinds of thoughts, then you're not getting it. It's not going to work for you. You have to come to things with your full energy. You have to come to this with your own full conviction and belief as a result of your own study of the material, talking to others, coming in regularly. Even if you come in and you don't believe it, come in and be neutral and listen and come to your own conclusions by yourself. Over the weekend, we did a table at a expo in San Jose, and we invited many of the people to listen in this evening. If you're one of those people that were at the expo, I thank you for coming in and checking this out. And the real bottom line here, for me, if you study the story, my own personal experience, is this reality of what I call interdimensional communication, where I have had the experience of having many, 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 many verbal communications with sources on the other side of the veil, and that I've been able to ask questions that are answers have been very evasive, and not from them, but from mankind, and they've given me very straight answers, and I think that I might have it correct. And on my website, onhigher-vision.org, there's a little booklet there called Questions and Answers with the Elohim, which is available for free download, which is one of the things that I urge you to study to decide if any of this is real or not. It's excerpts from a series of channelings with a voice that identified itself as the Elohim, who told me that they were the creative force behind this universe and that they have been very involved in many aspects of the evolution of this universe, and they want to help us right now at this critical juncture of our own destiny in terms of the planet. And, you know, they're making themselves available, but they don't violate free will, so we have to ask them. And so part of our ongoing conference calls is creating the interface between us and them. And I should also say, them is also the Ra group, which is the other group soul. And again, I don't mean to draw your conclusions. I'll just tell you how I've come to see it. There's two group souls. One of them is the Elohim, which has not had incarnations here, and is outside of this realm and existing in that place that I referred to as the eternal now earlier, and that from that place of the eternal now, they have the ability to beam energy through all the matrices and all the timelines and reach any point in it, like us right here. And so while we're talking, we're going to ask them to be beaming into us. We'll do it formally, but in one of the channelings, I said, would you be on these calls? And they said they would. They'd work with people. So there's the opportunity to feel their energy during this call. And the other group's goal is the Ra group. And the Ra group is composed of graduates of this realm. It's composed of beings, entities that have gotten off of the wheel of reincarnation and joined together as a huge conglomerate, and not only from this planet, but from other planets throughout the entire universe, and now exist as group energy to help planets at lower levels of evolution. And both of these groups are very much involved with our planet, with the history of religious movements and spiritual movements on our planet, if I have it correct, and they're very involved with our conference line. And because I've spoken with them and spoken to the voices that have identified themselves, when I've asked the question, they said, yes, they're working on this line, they're working with the people on the line. Those people that request their help, they will, you know, and that have an open channel in the other realms, and their karma is clear enough to receive it, they will work with those people. And many people on this line have had various miracles, growth experience, things that they wanted and not found elsewhere. Another thing that happens on this line is that there's a community being formed. And the community is being formed spontaneously. It's not being formed out of any regimentation or duty. I myself had no idea this was going to happen in the way it's happened, but the people that have been checking into the line regularly have gotten to know each other, called each other outside of the line, and developed real spiritual rapports. And I believe right now, in terms of the history of our world and where it is, it is extremely important to make connections with people on a spiritual level, spiritual relationships, because there is a good chance things are going to fall apart. And if they fall apart, and everyone's desperate, you would be really happy to have a group of people that you've connected with that are connecting for a spiritual reason and not based on the fear of survival. Because, of course, things can break apart, and you could get groups coming together for survival, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not as good as coming together because there's a high spirit, and then helping each other survive. And that is a very important benefit for anyone that checks into the calls regularly. And, of course, my vision is to have people all over the country and all over the world coming together and joining in small communities based on a very high spiritual principle. And that whether it's through this call or some other means or some other group, it's a very important thing to aim for over the next couple of years, and to have that for yourself so that there is a place to go to. Because if things get scary in the world and you're all alone, it's hard to transcend the fear. It's only you and the fear that everyone has around you. And if people have a habit pattern of having an uplifted spiritual vibe, then if things get scary in the world, then you have a place to go where you don't have to be scared. And even if you should be dying, even if something like that should happen, certainly it's better to do that not in a state of fear. That's one of those things that will ensure a better future incarnations. So on that note, it's 7:17, and we go till 7:25 this evening. I was a little bit tired, so I don't know if you guys picked that up or not, but after doing an expo, usually I am kind of washed out for a day or two, recouping my energies. So I hope you track this and follow it during the course of the call. And, you know, I'll share some of the things we do aside from doing these conference calls. We do the conference calls every night of the week. The Monday one is one where I talk and give an overview explanation, like I'm doing tonight. And then after we get off the call that's on BBS, we go around and each person that's checked in individually on the phone line has an opportunity to put something in the light, to put their own personal situations in the light. And then we put worldly things in the light and do planetary healings. And we do this in conjunction with the group energy we create with each other and the group souls that we believe are working with us. On Tuesday, which is at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Wayne and Suzanne, do a quo reading. And this is a quo reading from Carla Ruckert. And quo is another group soul. It's a derivative of the Ra group. And there's hundreds and hundreds of quo readings that have huge bits of data, information, comprehension of what's going on our world from an interplanetary cosmic point of view. And then on Wednesday through Sunday at 7 p.m., we have a short conference call, which doesn't really present any information like the Monday and Tuesday call. It just is a calling in of the light and putting situations in the light, kind of like in a prayer group situation. So those calls last usually 30 minutes, sometimes a little longer, sometimes shorter, depending on how many people are on the line. If you're listening on BBS Radio and you have the interest in checking in to some of our other conference calls, then please email Suzanne@higher-vision.org, and she will send you the phone number. And you're certainly well invited, and you can check it out, and you can listen, and you don't have to identify yourself if you don't want to. You can be anonymous. And the bottom line is there's an energy on these calls which many people can feel, and if you feel that energy, you'll know the call is for you. So at this moment, we're going to finish with the calling in of the light on BBS Radio, and then we will bow out from BBS, and those of us that are still on the line will continue and do our individual sending the light exercises. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, sometimes called the unified field, emanating from the center of our universe to the center of our galaxy, through the planets, coming in from the outer rim of the planets, Pluto, Neptune, Jupiter, Mars, Venus, and penetrating the energetic fields of planet Earth. Finally, coming into your room where you are now. Of course, this was always there. We're just talking about something and making conscious something which was always present and always will be present. And by making it conscious, it makes you aware of it. So you can feel this energy right now flowing around and in your body. You are in this flow of energy emanating from the center of the universe, through your body, through the crust of the earth, and grounding itself to the center of the earth. Right now, it's happening. And now we expand this energy so that we all touch each other. The part of us that is this energy, we're going to ask that it combines with each of us that are on this line, those that are on the phone, and those that are listening on BBS. And of course, if it's your free will desire to have this experience, and if not, you can listen and be neutral. So if we close our eyes, some of us will see lights flickering. Some of us will feel a band of energy around our forehead, an energy emanating from the center of our scalp, sometimes called the crown chakra. And that energy is going into these invisible worlds, and it's connecting with each other. We can feel the connection. We can feel the energy moving in from the top of our head, through our bodies, and into the earth, and extend it to each other. And as we join these energies, we are in the experience of the law of one. We have become a group energy in this moment. We're no longer bound to be separate. And of course, we're not stuck in a group energy. This is a free will choice where you could move in and out of it. There's nothing obligatory here. For the moment, we have a group energy. And now we invite those positive group energies, which we have called the Elohim group and the Ra group, to join with our group energy. And we send this energy around the world. We see it circling our planet and looking for darkness and filling it in with this positive, uplifted energy. We see it dropping in on the Middle East as a column of light. Washington, D.C., New York City, St. Louis, San Francisco. Those of us in San Francisco, particularly since there's many that were at the conference yesterday, We see this energy moving through our bodies and anchoring into the earth. They tell me that if there's enough people doing this, an earthquake can be put off or diminished. And so, see that happening. And we close off bringing this energy back to ourselves. And we radiate it into our own homes and into our families and into those people we work with. And we learn to stay up out of other people's reality systems and still be in their presence and still be able to hold a positive energy no matter where we are. And on that note, I'm going to tell everyone on VBS, thank you for being with us. And we hope you'll be here next week. My name is Winfrey, and we are going to continue on the conference line right now and do the individual calling ins of the light for our particular individual circumstances. So do we have Wayne on? Let me unmute everybody.
Do you know where your planets are?